Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. This month's History Matters, produced in collaboration with the Delaware Historical Society, was inspired by University of Delaware Black Studies professor Tiffany Gill's book, Beauty Shop Politics, African-American Women's Activism in the Beauty Industry. Dr. Gill explores how self-employed African-American beauticians often played an underground role in the civil rights movement. For example, having NAACP pamphlets and other similar mail sent secretly to their under-the-radar storefronts. Gill's primary focus is on beauty shops in the South, but we wondered if shops locally played a similar role. To find out, Delaware Public Media's Megan Pauley spoke with Wilmington residents and local historians about their recollections of and research into Delaware's beauty shop industry.
Hair is the thing. You sit down even in the darkest and the poorest parts of Africa or other countries. Somebody or a child or a young adult or a teenager is sitting down getting their hair done.
That's Florence Collins Hardy, who grew up on Wilmington's east side. She says the frequent routine of having her hair straightened by Mrs. Burton, whose hair salon was above Mr. Burton's pool hall, was quite special and was a big part of the city's African-American culture.
It gives you that place of belonging, that place of security, that place where you can talk about anything and somebody is standing there doing your hair and listening to what you have to say. Whether they agree, whether they disagree, whether they will advise you or not advise you, doesn't matter. The fact is, while you're in that chair or you're in that bogey, you are the center of attention.
Wilmington Bishop Aretha Morton also grew up on the east side, where her mother, Lorraine, worked as a hairdresser. But before that, she did domestic work for white families.
Some of the folk that she worked for, back in the day, they weren't too kind, you know. So I think that was really what pushed her to want to be her own boss.
Morton remembers one incident at a home where her mother, Lorraine, was working that really pushed her to pursue a more independent career as a beautician.
It had the big plantation post, more or less. And whoever it was, the woman wanted her to get on a ladder and scrub the post down, you know? And, of course, she said as soon as the woman told her that's what she wanted her to do, she got the bucket and the rag or whatever, and she sat it off to the side. She went in the house and got her coat, put it on, and came out and caught the bus. She just flatly refused to do it.
Lorraine went on to attend Mrs. Dora S. Lee's beauty school on East 10th Street, eventually joining other beauty school graduates all dressed in white during graduation at the Walnut Street YMCA, before going on to open her own shop. Lorraine was one of many African-American small business owners in Wilmington at that time, making her own schedule and only serving other African-Americans.
She would put a curl in, and the curl would be tight, you know, which meant if she did that like that, the person would supposedly come back in 2 weeks. But because the hair was done so tight and perfect, they would come by and they'd say, Lorraine, I'm not coming this week. I'll be here next week because, see, my hair's lasted. And then she would laugh and say, well, next time I'm not going to put that curl in as tight as I did before.
Retired University of Delaware Black Studies professor Jim Newton says there was an emergence of an elite African-American middle class in Delaware after what's known as the Great Migration. Millions of African-Americans fled the South in the late 1800s after widespread lynchings.
And so Black decided that enough was enough, packed their bags and came north.
That included physician Samuel G. Elbert, who helped found the National Negro Business League with Booker T. Washington. He was among the many progressive Blacks to settle in Wilmington.
The upward emergent Black middle class took on a life of its own. Clubs and sororities and social orders, all that began to take place.
Elbert and others like him set up shop and worked hard to develop the area for blacks.
Doctors owned the drugstore. They owned the only black theater. They owned, okay? And they owned most of the stuff. The result was they became the elite.
It was also the era of the Walker system, a beauty system similar to Avon, created by Madam C.J. Walker, an African-American entrepreneur, philanthropist, and political activist.
And the Walker system had to have pomades and gels, and she created all that. In jars, you got to comb it and part it and do all that, and that straight look.
Walker enlisted agents to help sell the hair products going door to door, and in 1917 hosted the first national convention for her Walker beauty culturists in Philadelphia. Though local businesses were very much segregated across the country, there was a very different attitude between whites and blacks in the South and the North.
So the racism up here and the racism down South, different. Racism down South is more blatant.
That's Collins Hardy again.
We didn't have as much of the fear of being bugged or looked at, because the NAACP and other groups were out there, and it was okay.
And that applied to the beauty shops, too.
So we had more people and more things. We had a different population. So the beauty shop industry and the politics wasn't necessarily, it didn't have to be as underground, because we had more people of status.
But that doesn't mean beauty shops in Wilmington weren't used for political organizing like they were in the South.
There was a lot of, for lack of a better word, there was a lot of political stuff going on. It really was, but...
That's Bishop Aretha Morton again.
Because my mom used the shop and the house from time to time for the polls. They even, this is a funny, but when they wanted people to vote a certain way, they get half pints of alcohol.
She said those pints of alcohol would be served at the door of her mom's beauty shop, Lorraine's Beauty Shop. Morton said she never thought of her mother as being a part of history until hearing Dr. Gill's talk about beauty shop politics, but says there's a little of that still happening today.
And it's almost like it is now. You know, we sit around and we talk about who we're going to vote for, whether they're going to be right or wrong for the community and what have you. And the community back in the day, there's so many desires that we had, and our African-American population, naturally, they say they were going to do as best they can to serve the community in the best way that they could, and they did.
But she says some things have changed. For example, the flexibility to change careers on a whim, which wouldn't have been so easy in the early 1900s. Morton says her granddaughter went to beauty school and then changed her mind.
She said, "Grandma, I don't want to do no hair." I said, "Girl, you have got to be kidding." She said, "No." And she doesn't. She doesn't.
Although Morton says most of what she calls the old school beauty shops like her mom's are no longer in existence, she says there are a few old timers still around and still doing hair. And even though Morton says her mom, Lorraine, was often too busy with clients to do her hair, she still has her mother's curling iron. For Delaware Public Media, I'm Megan Pauley.
Thanks, Megan. And a reminder that History Matters is produced in collaboration with the Delaware Historical Society. And that's it for this week's edition of The Green. The stories and interviews you've heard are online right now at DelawarePublic.org. Just head to The Green's page on our website. And remember, you can check out The Green via podcast at our website and on iTunes. We'd also like to hear from you. Send us your feedback and story ideas at our Facebook page, on Twitter at TheGreenDE, or by emailing us at thegreen@delawarepublic.org. Thanks to all those who helped make today's show possible, contributor Eileen Dalabrida, Delaware Public Media's James Dawson and Megan Pauly, as well as our president and station manager, Casey Houts. For all of them and the rest of the staff here at Delaware Public Media, I'm Tom Byrne saying thanks for joining us this week, and we'll see you again next week on The Green, where Delaware explores its common ground.